Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Nourishing Traditions Book of Baby and Child Care is a parenting and child health guide that applies traditional nutrition principles to conception, pregnancy, infancy, and early childhood. Written by Sally Fallon Morell with Thomas S. Cowan, it belongs to the natural health and family care genre rather than conventional medical advice. And its purpose is to argue that a nutrient-dense whole food diet is foundational to child development and resilience. The book draws heavily on the Weston A. Price tradition of studying ancestral diets and uses that framework to discuss breastfeeding, baby feeding, vaccination decisions, childhood illness, and the role of emotional and imaginative development. It is aimed at parents who want a more holistic approach than the one usually offered in standard baby care books. Its central claim is not simply that children need calories, but that the quality of food, fats, and early life care can shape long-term health outcomes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, traditional nutrition as the foundation of healthy conception and early development. A core idea in the book is that child health begins before birth, and in some respects before conception, rather than treating pregnancy as the starting point. The authors present nutrition as a long arc that should already be in place when parents begin planning a family. The book emphasizes nutrient-dense foods, especially traditional fats, mineral-rich foods, and properly prepared whole foods, because these are presented as the raw materials for growth, hormone balance, and immune development. This approach contrasts with mainstream advice that often focuses on calorie control, weight gain, or avoiding a short list of risky foods. The book argues that a traditional diet is more than a preference. It is a developmental strategy. By framing nutrition this way, it links parental food choices directly to fetal formation, breastfeeding quality, and the child's later capacity for physical and cognitive growth. The practical implication is that care for children is inseparable from how adults feed themselves. Secondly, breastfeeding, infant feeding, and the book's critique of modern feeding confusion. The book gives substantial attention to infant feeding because it sees the early months as a period when nourishment is especially decisive. Breastfeeding is treated as the biological norm and an important extension of maternal nutrition, but the book also discusses the difficulties modern parents face when feeding choices are shaped by convenience, misinformation, or industrial food culture. In this context, the authors stress the value of fat, mineral balance, and carefully timed introduction of solid foods rather than relying on simplified rules. The book does not present feeding as a narrow technique. It treats it as part of building digestion, immunity, and healthy growth. That makes its approach different from guides that isolate feeding schedules from food quality. The reasoning behind this section is that infants need more than generic baby food advice. They need a pattern of nourishment that supports brain development, tissue repair, and stable metabolism. This is why the book places such emphasis on food quality before discussing quantities or routines. Thirdly, childhood illness, fever, and natural responses to disease. Another distinctive theme is the author's discussion of childhood illness from a natural health perspective. The book presents fever not as an automatic enemy to be suppressed at all costs, but as part of the body's defensive process. This is a significant departure from approaches that focus mainly on rapid symptom control. The book also offers natural therapies for common childhood illnesses and discusses conditions such as whooping cough and autism within a broader framework of nutrition and immune function. The underlying logic is that a strong organism responds to illness differently from one that is poorly nourished, and that healthcare should support rather than override the body's restorative processes whenever possible. This does not mean the book rejects all medical intervention, but it does encourage parents to think more carefully about when intervention is necessary and when support, rest, and nutrition may be more appropriate. Its value lies in helping readers see illness not only as a problem to eliminate, but also as a physiological event that may reveal underlying nutritional weakness. Fourthly, vaccinations, newborn interventions, and parental decision-making under uncertainty. The book also addresses controversial medical decisions, including vaccinations and common newborn interventions. Its perspective is not neutral in the conventional sense. It encourages parents to slow down, ask questions, and evaluate risks rather than assuming standard practice is automatically best. This section reflects the book's broader distrust of one-size-fits-all, medical routines, and its preference for informed parental judgment. The authors aim to give readers enough background to understand that decisions about newborn care are not merely technical, but also ethical and practical. They place such choices within a larger pattern of bodily development, nutritional status, and individual circumstances. That makes this part of the book useful to readers who want a more deliberative framework for decision-making, even if they do not agree with every recommendation. The book's method here is to connect policy-level questions to family life, showing that interventions in early life can have lasting consequences and should therefore be considered carefully rather than accepted by default. Lastly, imaginative play, emotional life, and the child as a whole person. What separates this book from many nutrition-focused parenting guides is its attention to the child's emotional and imaginative life. Drawing on Rudolf Steiner, it argues that imaginative play is not a trivial pastime, but an important part of healthy development. This expands the book beyond diet and medical care into the realm of child formation more generally. The authors suggest that children need room for creativity, self-directed activity, and a protected inner life, not only proper meals and clean habits. This is an important conceptual move because it places nutrition inside a broader picture of human growth. A child can be well-fed yet still lack the conditions needed for balanced development if play, rhythm, and emotional security are neglected. By including this dimension, the book presents care as integrated rather than fragmented. Its reasoning is that physical nourishment, developmental freedom, and emotional well-being reinforce one another. As a result, the book speaks not only to parents concerned with food, but also to those looking for a more complete philosophy of raising children. In conclusion, this book is best suited for parents, expectant parents, midwives, family practitioners, and readers interested in traditional nutrition and natural childcare. It will also appeal to people who want a structured alternative to conventional baby manuals that focus mostly on schedules, products, and symptom management. Its main practical benefit is that it organizes early childhood care around a coherent philosophy: feed deeply, respect physiology, question routine interventions, and support the whole child rather than only treating isolated problems. Intellectually, it is useful because it connects nutrition, development, immunity, and temperament in a single framework, which gives readers a broader way to think about health. What makes it stand out in its category is the combination of ancestral diet theory, breastfeeding and infant feeding guidance, natural responses to childhood illness, and attention to imaginative and emotional development. Many parenting books cover one of these areas, but this one tries to unify them into a single traditional model of care. Readers may not agree with every recommendation, but the book remains notable for its strong internal logic and its distinctive challenge to modern assumptions about child rearing. If you would like to support Sally Fallon Morell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.